بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، brothers and sisters in Islam, today's hadith number 13 in the series of 30 hadith on the call to Islam. And this hadith talks about the tazkiyah, the purification. This aspect or this topic, which has been neglected among Muslims, though that among the tasks of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for which Allah sent him to us and to humanity in general, is to purify us. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, من يأخذ عني هؤلاء الكلمات فيعمل بهن أو يعلم من يعمل بهن. فقال أبو هريرة, فقلت أنا يا رسول الله. فأخذ بيدي فعد خمسا, فأخذ بيدي فعد خمسا, قال, اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس, وارض بما قسم الله لك تكن أغنى الناس, وأحسن إلى جارك تكن مؤمنا, وأحب للناس ما تحب لنفسك تكن مسلما, ولا تكثر الضحك فإن كثرة الضحك تميت القلب. رواه الترمذي وأحمد في المسند. The meaning in English, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Who will take these words from me and act upon them, or teach those who will act upon them? So I said, I will, O Messenger of Allah. Abu Huraira said that. So he took hold of my hand and counted out five, saying, keep away from the forbidden things, you will be the most devout of the people. Be pleased with what Allah has given you, you will be the richest of people. Treat your neighbor well, you will be a believer, a mu'min. Love for the people the good which you love for yourself, you will be a Muslim. And do not laugh greatly, for too much laughter kills off the heart. Reported by Tirmidhi, Ahmad, and its authentic hadith. Now, let us reflect, brothers and sisters, upon this hadith, and let us act upon these five, the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or these five words that he, or five instructions that he gave to Abu Huraira. Are you ready to act upon them, brothers and sisters? inshallah. The first one. So the Prophet ﷺ, first of all, he raised the question, who's ready to take words, these words from me and act upon them? Because that is the most important thing that you act upon. If you just accumulate or just you store in your memory and you don't act upon this, then there is no difference between you and between those who preceded us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coined for them the parable in the Quran. They are just like donkeys carrying load of books on their backs. So the most important thing, brothers and sisters, is the amal that you act upon. Whatever you learn, you act upon it and you put it into practice. So that's why he is stipulated. The Prophet ﷺ, he is stipulated here. He made a condition. Who will take these words from me and act upon them? Not only take them. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, immediately he did not hesitate and he said, I will act upon them. Because Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, as you know, brothers and sisters, is one of the scholars of the Sahaba. One who memorized a lot of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And even in the Sahaba, they said, MashaAllah, you memorize a lot of the hadith. And sometimes, like Umar ibn Khattab would say to Abu Hurairah, if he hears a hadith, what is this, Abu Hurairah? And Abu Hurairah, boastfully, he would tell him, you are in the market, O Umar. You were engaged in business, and I tied my tummy, and I sat next to my Prophet learning from him. So this hadith, you didn't choose them, because you were in the market busy. So, Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, he sat on his knees, and he bent his knees, and he learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so that he said, many times I fainted, and people will step and put their feet on my neck, thinking that I am possessed. They didn't know that I fainted due to hunger. He would tie his tummy to learn from the Prophet ﷺ. So here, he said, I will act upon them, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet said, who will act upon them, or teach them to someone who will act upon them? Because also when you teach something, let's say you learnt a sunnah, you learnt a hadith teaching us a sunnah. You didn't apply that hadith in your life, but you taught it to someone. Also, you will get a reward. You will get a reward because you taught it. Though you didn't act upon it, but you taught it to someone, also you will get a reward. And to teach those who will act upon them. So Abu Hurairah said, I will do that, O Prophet of Allah. So then he took hold of my hand. And this is normally, the Prophet ﷺ, he did this many times. And he would take hold of the hand of the person and he would start holding the finger of that person. So when you do this, and you know, this is also quite common I don't know, in this part of the world, if someone wants to instruct you to do things, he holds your hand and he starts bending your fingers. See, 1, 2, 3, all these things. So the Prophet ﷺ, he did that. He said, he took hold of my hand and counted out. He said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we'll never forget them. Number one. اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمَ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدِ النَّاسِ. اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمَ. Keep away from the forbidden things. You will be the most devout of the people. The things that Allah prohibited, the things that Allah made unlawful, the things that Allah made haram, abstain from that. Never do something haram. Keep away from the haram. Always, brothers and sisters, remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Halal is clear and haram is clear, and there is a gray area in between. The doubtful area. And whoever falls into that gray area, the doubtful area, he falls into the haram. So you should always stay away from that doubtful gray area. Because now imagine there are three circles. The circle of the halal, and you are at the other end of the circle of the halal. And between you and the circle of the haram, there is another circle, which is a gray area. The gray area is something in between. Because if you enter that zone, then it is very easy for you to fall into the haram. So you should stay away. You should stay away from the gray area. And also, you should be in the first half of the halal, of the circle of the halal, not in the second half, which is closer to the gray area. So here the Prophet ﷺ is saying that if you want to be one of those devout devotees, worshippers, the most sincere worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to abstain from all the unlawful things, the things that Allah made haram. Keep away from the forbidden things. And we should know, brothers and sisters, that all the forbidden things that Allah forbade, He forbade them due to their harmfulness, ugliness, etc. They're not good for us. They're not good for us. And there is no benefit in that for us. This should be clear in the mind of every Muslim and Muslimah. Allah made it haram. There is no khair in it. There is no goodness in it. Otherwise, Allah would not have prohibited us from doing that. Allah said, don't drink alcohol because it is harmful. It is bad. Don't fornicate, it is bad. Don't steal, it is bad, it is evil. Don't lie, all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited, because they are harmful, will harm us in this life and in the hereafter. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do something, it is good for us. And there is benefit in that. In this world as well as in the hereafter. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Muslimah to wear the hijab, there is good in that. It is for her own sake. It is for her own benefit. Allah will not reap anything out of that. But we are the ones who will reap the benefit. It is a protection for you. People will respect you. People will not have, those naughty boys will not harass you, etc. Because you are modest and chaste. But if you are not wearing your hijab, and you are walking and wearing your makeup, wearing perfume, all these things, you are actually inviting the devils. You are calling them. So you are looking for trouble. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something, it is for our own benefit. And when He forbids something, it is also for our own benefit. Are you following me? Is this clear to everyone? So it's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to oppress the women as the, you know, the rejecters of truth and those enemies of the faithful and the enemies of the believers. They try to put into the minds of more Muslim women that what, Islam oppressed you, why should you cover yourself? Well, because actually they want to see your body, they want to look at you as a sex object. So don't be fooled, and you should not be fooled by their satanic and devilish propaganda. So here, the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us and emphasizing, اتَّقِي الْمَحَارِمَ. Always stay away from that thing. Because you see, brothers and sisters, Islam is nothing more than limits and rights, or rights and limits. Rights and limits. Rights for others. The others, they have rights upon us, and we have obligations towards them, and we have rights also on others. And Allah has rights upon us. So we have to fulfill Allah's rights. And Allah has set limits, boundaries. And so no one should trespass this limit. No one should cross it. The moment you cross Allah's limits, then you will be in trouble. And you will land, you know where. You will land in hell. So that's why we have to sanctify the limits set by our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. So keep away from the forbidden things, you will be the most devout of the people. تَكُنْ أَعْبَدِ النَّاسِ. Because when you stay away from the haram, your nafs, we know that the nafs is always incites and provokes the person towards evil. This internal enemy, the inner enemy, is always there, trying to incite you, trying to tempt you, to persuade you to do the haram. And also, there is also an ally for the nafs, which is the shaitan. So both the nafs and the shaitan are working together and try to beautify the ugly stuff, the ugly things which are haram, because all the haram things are ugly if you look at them. Very ugly. They're not good. Alcohol is very bad. Very bad. It's not nice, it's not tasteful, it's not like drinking fruit cocktail. No. But yet the people, they drink it only to intoxicate their minds so that they might forget their problems for a while. Fornication is ugly, it's bad. You have all these diseases, you will, etc., etc. It destroys families. The ills of the consequences are endless. It's not, that's why, and any person who has a sound fitrah, sound nature, We reject these things and will not do these things. You know that Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anha, and an Abu Sufyan, when she came to give the bay'ah, the allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would tell the women, Muslim women, when they come to give the bay'ah, that they should not commit zina. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this, she said, "O Prophet of Allah, how come a free woman commit zina? Is it possible that a free woman, because in those at that time only the slave girls are the ones who are involved in prostitution, not free women? So how come a free lady, a noble lady, commits such a shameful deed? Is it possible?" So any person with sound fitrah, nature, would reject these things. A Muslim scholar was in the United States, and then question time, they asked him, why in Islam, this is always they ask this question, why in Islam a woman cannot have four husbands? Always they raise this question. Any decent woman will feel offended. Because any decent woman who loves her husband will not like this question. Imagine a woman who loves her husband and you tell her, you know, when you die, you go to Jannah, you'll have four husbands there, or 100 husbands, or 10 husbands, queue of husbands waiting for you. Would she be feeling okay? No. This is against her nature. She will be offended. Because she wants to be there, to be there in the Jannah with her husband. Because she loves her husband. Sisters, are you following me? Any decent woman, this is her feeling. So this Shaykh rahimahullah said, he said, okay, now I ask you, how many among you are married? Raise your hand. They raise the hand. So how many times do you check, how many times per month do you go to the clinic to check for STDs, the sexual transmitted diseases? How many times do you go? No one said once. No one. Hands went down. No one will go to check for STDs because there won't be any STDs. STDs, they spring from what? When there are more than one man sleeping with the same woman. When there is more than one fluid going to the same place. Hands went down. Then he told them, that's why Islam prohibited the zina. But if you go and you sleep with a prostitute, immediately you will go and check. And you will be afraid all the time. Maybe I have HIV, maybe I have HIV. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he tells us something, it is for our own benefit. Whether he prohibits us or he commands us, in both cases, it is for our own benefit. Is this clear to everyone?
Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ, which means be pleased with what Allah has given you, you will be the richest of people. Yes, this contentment, satisfaction, inner satisfaction. You are very content, very happy with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. This is indeed is a blessing, that contentment. You find many people, they have millions, but they are not they don't have that contentment, they are not happy. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you with regard to the dunya, don't look to those who are above you, look to those who are below you. Because if you are always looking up, first of all, your neck will pain you. You'll have a stiff neck. Second thing, you will be ungrateful to your Lord. But if you look down, you will be always praising the Lord. You will be always saying Alhamdulillah. So always when it comes to the dunya, look down. Say Alhamdulillah, see so-and-so. This is his status. Alhamdulillah, I am better off. So don't look up. That's why, for instance, this is my advice for the sisters. Don't go and visit with rich people. Don't visit rich people or rich women, where you will say, Subhanallah, well, we are really suffering. We, before seeing this fortune, before seeing her house and her furniture, you are fine, you are happy. You are happy living in your little kingdom. But now you saw something else, so now no more contentment. So don't go there. Stay in your little kingdom. Maintain that contentment, and inshallah you will have the firdaus. Dunya is called dunya, the lowest, the mean, the debased. It's called dunya. Forget it. Ignore it. Think about the real home, the akhirah. Is this clear to your sisters? Because if you go to a house of a rich woman, see how she has chandelier, she has this, she has that, and it's the nature of women, they always like these things. That's why when the women they visit any woman's house, they say, can we see your house? And I'm sure this is common all over, it is a global disease, global sickness. Right, sisters? Can I see your house? They want to see everything. Not all, I'm not saying all, but this is a common sickness. So, contentment, rida, to be satisfied with whatever Allah gave you. So we have to think about the real home, the Akhirah. The Akhirah. You see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the most beloved one to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah didn't give him the dunya. He was sleeping on the floor. His cushion is made of the palm fiber. He sleep on the mat, and the mat made marks on his body. He left this dunya and he didn't have his fill one day of the bread, barley bread. He left this dunya. Aisha said that he used to stay for 3 consecutive months, 3 consecutive crescents, that means 2 lunar months, without cooking, without having food, cooking at home. We would be living on water and date, if we find date. Otherwise, we would tie our tummies. This shows what? This shows that this dunya is nothing in the sight of Allah. Otherwise, he would have given it to his Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why the dunya doesn't weigh in the sight of Allah the weight of the mosquito's wing. So the contentment and to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that is really a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ ذَاتَ آمِنًا فِي سِرْبِهِ مُعَافًا فِي بَدَنِهِ عِنْدَ وَقُوتُ يَوْمِهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا بِحَذَافِيرِهَا. مَنْ ذَاتَ آمِنًا فِي سِرْبِهِ, he who sleeps peacefully and safely in his home, he has a shelter, whether that shelter is hut, flat, whatever, cave, there is a shelter, and you feel secure and safe. من بات آمنا في سربه معافا في بدنه, and he is healthy. There is a shelter and you are healthy, you are not suffering from any illness, alhamdulillah. عنده قوت يومي, and he has the sustenance of his day, food for one day. He has that food of that night, he has it. عنده قوت يومه فكأنما حيزت له الدنيا بحذافيرها. Such a person, he has captured all the dunya. He has the entire dunya in his hand. The whole dunya with him. Imagine, the whole dunya with you. Yes, the whole dunya with you. What do you want from this dunya? Nothing. When you came into the dunya, you came with nothing, and you will leave with nothing. All these who say, this is mine, this is my property, all this ownership, actually, it is nominal ownership. The real owner is Allah, because if it is yours, take it with you to the Akhirah, can you? Can you take all the millions with you? No, you cannot. Only if you spend it for Allah's sake, then you can take it with you. Otherwise, you will leave it for the heirs and the inheritors. So it's not yours, actually. So the Salaf, they understood this, the reality of the dunya. So they were not interested in it, and the dunya did not intoxicate them, did not fool them. Then he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you know the story of Malik ibn Dinar rahimahullah, when the thief jumped into his house to steal at night. He looked everywhere, nothing. The only thing he found, there is a jug that he used for his wudu. Nothing. The house is empty. So he decided to leave and jumped into another house to find something. Malik rahimahullah was watching the guy. So the guy was going to leave. He said, "Oh, come here." You can imagine now the reaction of that thief in the darkness, and someone is telling him, because Malik said, he said, "It is not fair that you leave empty-handed." That's what he told him. "It is not fair that you leave the house empty-handed. Come." And I can imagine that he went to Malik shivering. He told him, "You didn't find anything, right? I will give you something. So go and take wudu and pray 2 rak'ah. I am sure that this thief, the 2 rak'ahs that he prayed, mashallah, maybe this day, the best rak'ahs in his life. Because when you are in that difficulty, in that position, you get closer to Allah. And you become mukhlas and sincere. Because you want Allah to save you and to deliver you from such a trouble. So he prayed to rak'ahs, as you know the story, and also Malik also prayed for the guy. So when he finished the salah, he called him, "Come," he started teaching him, and the man repented, etc. But he didn't find anything in the house. The same thing, Ibrahim ibn al-Adham, rahimahullah, he was traveling with his brothers seeking ilm, and Ibrahim ibn al-Adham is one of the Ahl al-Hadith. Though there are some stories attributed to him which are questionable, or maybe in the early days of his life, etc. Anyway, so they were traveling to learn the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and they had dry bread with them. Dry bread. Dry loaves of bread. You can imagine those loaves of bread, they are very thick. If you throw one of them at any person, you will break his head. Like rocks. So he cannot bite them. So they reached the river, and then they were dipping the bread, the loaves, into the water, and they were eating. And then they stretched their bodies on the bank of the river, and he said, "By Allah, we are in a real bliss, we are real joy. Had the sons of the kings known about it, they would have fought us with their swords." When I read that, I started, subhanallah, what this guy is talking about? Dry bread, and the water is the river's water. And then he's saying, "We are actually in a real happiness. Had those poor guys, the sons of the kings, known about it, they would have fought us with their swords." Yes, that is very true, because what he was talking about is this happiness, this contentment, this satisfaction. That's what he is talking about. Is this clear to you, brothers and sisters? Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى جَارِكَ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى جَارِكَ تَكُنْ مُحْسِنًا. Treat your neighbor well. You will be true mu'min, you will be a believer. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى جَارِكَ تَكُونْ مُؤْمِنًا. Treat your neighbor well, you will be a true mu'min, true believer. Do we treat our neighbors well? Muslims, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims, they are still neighbors and they have rights upon us. And especially those who are living among the non-Muslims. Had we lived Islamically, our situation would have been different. And the number of Muslims in the West would be, mashallah, no one could count them. And the media would never succeed to give any negative image of Islam. Because on the ground, the reality will prove them wrong. The non-Muslims will tell them, no way. Our neighbors are excellent neighbors. Islam is beautiful. Muslims are nice people. Had we lived Islamically, I'm saying, had we lived Islamically as our forefathers lived, and when they went to the different parts of the world spreading the guidance, the people, they love them, they like them. The most populated country in the world among the Muslims, and the greatest percentage of in population, percentage of population is Indonesia. No Muslim army went there. Handfuls of Muslim traders from the southern part, from Yemen, went to Indonesia, and the people loved Islam and they accepted Islam. And now hundreds of millions of Muslims are there. Had we lived Islamically, but when the neighbors, they see us, they hate Islam. Even when we want to talk to them about Islam, they look into our actions. Say, if Islam is like that, why don't you practice it first? So we became stumbling blocks in the way of the people to accept the guidance. It is high time, brothers and sisters, to abide by the law of Allah and to live Islamically. And if we abide by the law of Allah and give the people their rights, like this hadith and other many hadith, people will start to love this deen and want to accept it. People are in the darkness, they are in the dark, they see the light. But those who have the lights are so selfish and so stingy. Neither they benefit of this light or getting the benefit of this light, nor they share it with others. Like one of the brothers who became a Muslim, he said, "You are like a snake around a treasure." So neither the snake benefited from that treasure, nor the snake allowed others to get close to the treasure. Your next neighbor who died and you didn't give him da'wah, do you think that you must be held responsible in front of Allah? Subhanallah. Your neighbor who died as a Christian or a Jew or a Hindu, whatever, and you didn't give him da'wah, do you think that you will not be asked before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You are responsible. You have the truth, you have the light, you have the guidance. But you didn't share it. So please, wake up, brothers and sisters. If you want to be a true mu'min, listen to what the Prophet ﷺ is saying. Treat your neighbor well. Your neighbor. And you remember the hadith in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad when Abdullah ibn Umar, he slaughtered the goat and he said to his family, did you send for our neighbor, the Jew? Remember that hadith in Adab al-Mufrad? Did you send part of the meat to our neighbor, the Jew? Yes. That is Islam. That is Islam. That is Islam. So brothers and sisters, your neighbors around you, invite them, call them for a meal. The sisters, call your neighbor, just for tea, chat with her. I will teach you today our cuisine, I will teach you a recipe, I will teach you this. Little by little, break the barriers. That's the only thing can justify your stay over there. If you are not doing the da'wah, then you have no excuse at all before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ تَكُنْ مُسْلِمًا. Love for the people the good which you love for yourself, and you will be a Muslim. You will be a Muslim. Love for the people what you love for yourself. You love for yourself the Jannah, love the also for the people. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our example. What Allah said about him in Surah Al-Kahf? فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Perhaps you Muhammad going to kill yourself out of sorrow over them that they don't accept this truth. The Prophet ﷺ, it was killing him. He was so sad, so unhappy that his people, they didn't accept the message. It was grieving him. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because he knew. He knew if they die without accepting the message, they would go to hell. And he was sent to save them. He was sent as a mercy for mankind. He was praying the whole night and crying for whom? For his people. Idol worshippers, pagans. Do we cry? Those who reverted to Islam, do you cry for your brothers, for your sisters, that Allah saved them? Do you work hard? Do you work hard towards inviting them? That is selfishness. If you don't do this, you know this person is going to hell. You know it. What is this? You know he's going to hell and you allow him to go to hell? At least give him the message. At least on that day he would not have an excuse. You have to understand, when you say at least they will not have an excuse, it doesn't mean that go and be harsh and say, this is Islam, accept it all. No. Let them understand it. Let them see it. Crystallize and manifest in our attitudes, in our behaviors.
وأحب للناس ما تحب لنفسك تكن مسلما.
Love for the people the good which you love for yourself, you will be a Muslim, a true Muslim. Then he says, صلى الله عليه وسلم,
ولا تكثر الضحك فإن كثرة الضحك تميت القلب.
And do not laugh greatly, for too much laughter kills off the heart. Yes, too much laughter. Anything when it exceeds the limit, it's not permissible in Islam. So yes, we laugh, just the same way you season your food. If you put too much salt, you'll not be able to eat it. Less salt, you'll not be able to eat it. So we have to be moderate in everything. Yes, we need to laugh sometimes, but not always. So too much laughter kills the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our heart healthy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our hearts pure and clean. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our hearts upon the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us as instruments and tools to guide those towards the guidance and bring them out from the darkness into the light. Ameen. May Allah reward all of you brothers and sisters for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khaira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.